From KCBW News in Salt Lake City, I'm Jeff Robinson. While Utah Senator Orrin Hatch more than survived last weekend's Republican state convention, it still ended with Hatch having to face his first primary election since originally winning his first Senate race in 1976. So what lies ahead between now and June when it will go up against former state Senator Dan Lilienquist on the GOP ballot? Every Friday, we talk with Thomas Burr, Washington correspondent for the Salt Lake Tribune and author of Political Cornflakes, a daily online roundup of Utah politics. He joins me now from Washington. Hey, Thomas.
Hey, Jeff.
So does it appear that Hatch is in a pretty good position to win this primary, Thomas?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure the Hatch campaign would probably not like to be facing a primary. They would have loved to win the nomination outright last Saturday. But, you know, he lost, you know, missed out on that outright nomination by 32 votes. He's probably more than a make up for that in a primary. There's a lot of green between now and June 26 when Republican voters will go to the polls and decide between Hatch and Lilienquist. But he's pretty strong right now. The last poll we had showed 62% of Republican voters favoring Hatch, 20% for Lilienquist. And I think the Hatch campaign has always kind of figured that they were very strong going into a primary. So if they were forced into that situation, then they'd be okay. The worst, of course, would have been for Hatch if he couldn't have made it out of convention. But the regular voter base in Utah seems to like Hatch, seems to be happy with him. He's got, you know, the people have always gone out and voted for him in the last, you know, last six times around. So his seventh time around, he's probably looking pretty good.
So do you think he'll keep the fundraising machine still going pretty strong until June at least?
You know, why not? I guess in so many ways. Hatch has a lot of money already on hand. I think we last reported $3.25 million in the bank Hatch had. Lilienquist had about $242,000. So, you know, Hatch could certainly easily raise more money, but he may not have to. You know, he can hit some TV spots and mailers, you know, keep up a few public appearances, and probably, you know, keep in the news media and keep, you know, out there for everyone to see for quite a while. Lilienquist has got the, you know, the tough road ahead of trying to introduce himself not to just the 4,000 delegates at the convention, but
right.
to, you know, the regular American or Republican base in Utah. So it's more of a challenge for Lilienquist, that's for sure.
Your Tribune colleague Robert Gerke noted on Twitter that Hatch has picked up the endorsement of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, but unlike FreedomWorks, that's not one of the outside interest groups he has a problem with.
No, I think Hatch likes that outside interest group. So, you know, there's some that are good, there's some that are bad, according to Hatch.
So, Thomas, one federal official who holds a lot of authority over Utah because of its extensive public lands is Interior Secretary Ken Salazar, who spoke this week there in Washington at the National Press Club. What did he have to say specifically about Utah lawmakers and Governor Gary Herbert's efforts to seize control of federal public lands?
It's not a surprise to many Utahns that Salazar probably does not like what the Utah legislature did recently, which is the, you know, the lawmakers want to force the federal government to hand over all the federal lands, except for the national parks, but hand over all that BLM land, hand over all that Forest Service land and say, you know what, it's ours now. Salazar said that, quote, defies common sense. He wasn't a big fan of it. The BLM director, Robert Abbey, said it was personally disappointing, and you know, that it wasn't going to go anywhere. It was a lot of effort for nothing. You know, that's not really a shock that they would think that. Abbey said that before to us, but they're not big fans of the effort. On the counter side, Rob Bishop, Utah congressman, Republican, called their little press club appearance a part of the ongoing, quote, comedy routine. It was the Obama administration trying to whitewash its efforts to, you know, control Western lands. I'd love to see them all on tour at some point. Salazar, Abbey, and Bishop doing a little comedy routine. That'd be fun.
Finally, Thomas, Senator Mike Lee has already voted against one judicial nominee for Utah, David Nuffer, because he's pledged to vote against every Obama nominee in protest of the president's controversial recess appointments back last year. Thursday, another Utah nominee came up again, named Robert Shelby. How did Senator Lee vote this time?
You know, it's interesting because he did almost the same thing he did with David Nuffer. Both Senator Lee and Senator Hatch lauded Robert Shelby in the Judiciary Committee hearing. They both said what a great judge he'll make, and he's a fascinating and great pick for the job. Hatch voted for him, and then Senator Lee stood up and voted against him. But Senator Lee explains this is not against Robert Shelby. He likes the guy, but it's his continuing protest against the Obama administration's recess appointments they did back in January. He's not going to vote vote for a nominee for the president until they repeal those. It doesn't look like the president's going to repeal those anytime soon, so I guess we should be used to that no button is going to be very much used by Senator Lee.
Thomas Burr is Washington correspondent for the Salt Lake Tribune and author of Political Cornflakes, a daily online roundup of Utah politics. We talk with him every Friday. And, Thomas, we will catch up with you next week. Have a good weekend.
That sounds good. Thanks, Jeff.